Today's Gospel reading is taken from John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Today's Gospel reading is sort of a time travel in the sequence of events for the coming week. It takes us beyond the events of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which we will celebrate next week for Palm Sunday, but before the Passion reading, which will be read out during the service next week. It's sort of the filling in the sandwich of those two parts. But today we will reflect on what Jesus' teaching is revealing to us and what it is showing us about God's nature. So we will take ourselves to the scene and imagine ourselves being there as one of Jesus' disciples. We have recently witnessed two quite remarkable moments with Jesus. His raising of Lazarus from the dead, and not long after, Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, with people proclaiming him as king and shouting praise and adoration for him. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were increasingly worried and had said to each other, "See, you can do nothing. The whole world is following him." And it is after this that some Greeks have approached a few of the disciples and asked, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." When Jesus is informed of this by Andrew and Philip, we begin to hear Jesus immediately speaking, and we listen. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour." After having just watched Jesus being worshipped as a king into his entry into Jerusalem by crowds of people, you hear Jesus now talking about his death once again. I wonder how this would be making you feel. Are you confused? Are you troubled? Do you feel puzzled or even sad, wondering what might happen next? As you are listening to Jesus and wondering about all these things, he begins to speak of how troubled he is feeling about the impending situation he faces, but that he can do nothing but submit to God's will, which he has come to fulfill. You can see and hear how troubled he is. Jesus then asks God to bring glory to his name, and immediately, in response, you hear a voice coming from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." You cannot quite believe what has happened, and that you have just heard a voice, maybe like an angel. Everyone around you, all the disciples, and even people in the crowd are wondering what it was. Then Jesus proclaims, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." You hear the kind of death that Jesus is speaking of, the kind of death he is telling you that he will suffer. But you can't imagine it. A king, a saviour, a messiah who comes to die on the cross. Those two things in your mind don't seem compatible. The Son of Man in your understanding was an invincible leader, a leader that would be saved by the armies of heaven. The thought of the Son of Man dying on a cross was perhaps the most radical teaching you have heard. We will keep a moment's silence as you reflect on what Jesus has said to you, what it meant to hear the voice of God and how you feel about the Son of Man, who you believed would bring an everlasting dominion, dying on a cross. Crucifixion was mostly associated with punishment of slaves. So how can this be, you wonder? What does it mean? After a moment's silence, the gospel reading will be reread.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die.
Sometimes it's hard for us to fully comprehend just how radical Jesus' life was. His death on a cross means salvation for us because we understand the completeness of his ministry, of his life and death. But at the time, it must have been so alien for the people who heard Jesus speaking. His disciples were experiencing something so divine in Jesus' healing and teaching and being, and then something so perplexing about where he said this was leading to. What is so fascinating in today's gospel reading is the question asked by the Greeks. "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." I don't know about you, but when I asked to see Jesus, when I asked Jesus to come into my life when I was an adult, he turned my life upside down too. If we ask to see him, if we ask him to be in our lives, to lead our lives, he will indeed show us truth, the truth of who he is and the truth of who we are in him. He shows us his nature of self-sacrifice. Jesus, like all of us, experienced that moment where we know we have to face our hour, our death, and we don't want to. But he is showing us that our death means life, and it means life in all its glory. God is a God of eternity. Our death is our ultimate sacrifice, when, like Jesus, we give up our spirit, and we do so in order for our souls to return to God, to be with God in the everlasting kingdom of his dominion. and it is through Jesus, who brings all people to himself. Jesus' death and resurrection were not a one-time moment. It is his continuing work of salvation. It is the place and work of intercession between heaven and earth, the place where all is given up for his salvation work and his glory. Today's reading is the most poignant as we begin this time of Passiontide and before we enter into Holy Week. We see Jesus revealing his overarching purpose and nature, eternity and salvation. And what does that mean for our daily life with him? He is asking us to live as people of eternity, where we live our lives for his purposes, where we give all to his call to each of us, where we don't hold on tightly to the ways of the world, but realise that our life lived to eternal purposes bears more fruit than we can ever imagine.